Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, the Senate will provide advice and consent, as is its constitutional obligation, but I feel confident that Tulsi Gabbard will ultimately get through. Two things that are important to know about Tulsi. First of all, she is a career military servant who's had a classification at the highest levels for nearly two decades. She has impeccable character, impeccable record of service, and she also is a person who I think is going to bring some trust back to the intelligence services.
Yeah, how about that? J.D. Vance, the vice president, out talking about the nomination hearings that will be held this week. RFK Jr. is going to have his nomination hearings this week. Of course, Tulsi Gabbard. These are expected to be two of the tougher ones, I guess. They already got Pete Hegseth in and Marco Rubio and Kristi Noem and others. So they're getting there, right? But what is going to happen this week? That's a really good question. I don't know for sure. Carl, do we have Ashley there? I see something on hold.
Not yet.
Okay, I'm just checking. I was trying to decipher what I'm seeing on my phone screen here as we talk about this. But the vice president was having a very good time last night or yesterday with Margaret Brennan because she wanted to focus on immigration and what was going on with that, which I thought was pretty interesting. She go ahead and play. Let me see here. Play cut number seven, Carl, where she's upset about potential raids on churches and schools.
We empowered law enforcement to enforce
but
the law everywhere to protect Americans.
Effect, a chilling effect, arguably, to people to not send their kids to school.
I desperately hope it has a chilling effect
on
illegal immigrants coming into our country.
You think the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops are actively hiding criminals?
I think the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has frankly not been a good partner in common sense immigration enforcement that the American people voted for. And I hope, again, as a devout Catholic, that they'll do better.
Yeah. Tom Homan was all over the place this weekend, too. The question is those nomination hearings and maybe how that's going to go. And I guess we'll find out more on that as they get underway. Let me see if we get to Ryan Schmelz here from Fox News Radio. Ryan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Yeah, so who's up first? Is it RFK?
I believe it's RFK Wednesday. Yes, correct.
Yeah, so this is the one where have they been counting votes on this one? Do they think they've got the votes they need on him, or is it just not clear yet?
I think it's going to completely be dependent on what he does at his hearing, because remember with RFK, it's not just the usual suspects when it comes to his questions or who's going to be questioning him. I think you've got some more conservative Republicans out there who have serious issues with his past stance on abortion. So I think he's got to face a grilling when it comes to not just his vaccine stance, but I think abortion is going to be under the microscope, some other issues that he's taken over his career. And I think like regulation might be something that's big too, because, you know, he keeps talking about how he wants to go after big food and all that. And I think that's certainly something a lot of people are on board with. But is it going to be in a way that leads to more regulations, which obviously Republicans don't like, or is it going to be in a way that adds to maybe inflation? So I think these are all serious questions that he's got to answer for.
Yeah, and you've got to wonder, I wonder if anybody will bring up the fact that he might get his answers finally on his dad and his uncle's assassination attempts. I mean, I don't know that that'll have nothing to do with him being, the head of Health and Human Services, but it's certainly something a lot of people are probably interested in knowing his thoughts on.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of these nominees, when they're awaiting the hearings or awaiting the official confirmation vote, we don't really hear much from them in between those times. So this is going to be the first time we're going to see him in a public setting and actually answering questions. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that will be off the table for sure.
Yeah. So Wednesday for RFK, Tulsi Gabbard at the same time, because she'll be in a different committee,
I believe,
right?
She's going down Thursday, I believe. And I think Cash Patel, same thing. So those are kind of the big three that we're watching for this week.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting couple of hearings, no doubt about it. Certainly they're not on at the same time, right? So people will be able to watch them.
Yeah. They're all going to be streamed separately on their individual committee websites and on YouTube. And then obviously I think we might take a couple of them live as they're happening. So it's going to be won't be boring on Capitol Hill. That's for sure.
No, that is for sure. And I'm trying to just keep track here, because I know of the ones we've gotten confirmed so far. If there are three more this week, does that round out his cabinet, or are there still people we're waiting?
Oh, no, we've got a lot more to go still. But I think we could be getting Scott Bessent confirmed today, and then maybe Sean Duffy confirmed tomorrow, who's probably going to soar through with bipartisan support. So he's still got a long way. I mean, when they haven't even had the hearings from some of these folks yet, I mean, they can't have the confirmation vote until they have the hearing, until they have the vote out of committee, and then vote on the floor after that. So it'll be a while.
And is there still evidence? I know they worked through the weekend. Is there still evidence of some foot dragging here on the part of Democrats?
Well, there certainly were some serious delays last week, especially when you started with the John Ratcliffe nomination and the pushback there. And I mean, the reason why they had to have the Pete Hegseth vote on Friday night was because of how many delays in the filibuster and the kind of the clock with the cloture vote, which gets really technical into the Senate processes. But they had to have the vote on Pete Hegseth. Then Saturday they came to a time agreement, and that allowed for them to get Kristi Noem confirmed relatively quickly.
Yeah, true. Ryan Schmelz, we appreciate the information, my friend. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks, Mark.
Yep. Take care of yourself. Appreciate that. Ryan Schmelz, a little bit of a surprise there. We weren't sure if we were going to get him on or not, but he called in. Carl, it worked out.
Everything is just working out fine today.
Yes, it is. It's just like Donald Trump. It's perfect. It's just the way we planned it. Don't worry about it. All right. Coming up, we'll get to real fake here in a couple of minutes. At the bottom of the hour, you know what this week is. Every week is a different week, right? It's got a different name to it. Somebody has designated this National School Choice Week. Well, if you've listened to the show anytime, you know that's something I'm pretty passionate about, in terms of the fact that I believe there should be vouchers with no strings attached. If you want to send your kid to a school that's performing as opposed to the one in your district that's not, that competition is the best thing you can do to get some of these schools on the ball and starting to produce better outcomes. There's no doubt about that. But this coming week is National School Choice Week. We're going to talk to Shelby Doyle, who's, of course, with the National School Choice Awareness Foundation, at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
All right, so Matthew doesn't know what we're doing, and he is very unprepared for this, which probably makes him going to win.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the real or fake news quiz. I'm talking to you one-on-one, Matthew.
Okay.
Every Monday at this time,
yes,
I read news headlines, and you have to tell me if they are real or fake.
Okay.
They're just, you know.
Seems pretty intuitive.
Easy peasy.
No, because these people in front of you don't believe anything I say, and if it's real, they say, no, that can't be true,
we've
and
learned,
vice
Matthew,
versa.
I don't blame them for this at all. This seems like a very fair reaction.
Well, once Kim Googled the fact that llamas' eyes, their pupils were
square.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, my God, I don't believe that. But that, so
yeah, that would have got me.
It's exactly. Stuff like that.
All right.
Yeah. Now, Mark, we said before you left to go to D.C., which, I'm sorry, that did not happen.
It did not happen.
But we said that there was going to be consequences for the winners. If you win, real or fake, you will get to pick the music the following Monday.
Wow.
This was
prepare for a lot of Van Halen next Monday.
This is very difficult for me to allow. Yeah, no, yeah. But next, whoever wins today, next Monday, they will get to pick the music.
All right.
About little, even if you're not here, Matthew.
You got a little something right there on your
arm. You can just
shoulder.
Mail it in.
You got a little something right there on your arm. Let's go.
It says Van Halen.
Okay.
Nice.
So the last person to win that didn't mean anything was Ethan.
Okay. Surprising.
All right. Consequences today.
Consequences today.
Let's go.
Ethan Bright, real or fake, humans have more hair than chimps.
I'm going to go real.
Mark Cox.
Fake.
Matthew Rocchio.
I'm going to go with real.
It is real.
You have Are you kidding me?
Yes, it's just lighter.
And it starts.
It's chimps, too. I think they got
hair all over their face. Come on.
You have hair all over your body. It's just blonde.
Okay. Or white.
Besides your palms and the bottoms of your feet, there's hair everywhere.
All right. I want the sword.
He might wax. You don't.
Go ahead.
Naturally have hair. Mark Cox, real or fake, last year, the Indian Premier League had more Google searches than the 2024 Summer Olympics. Real or fake?
I'd say that could be real.
Matthew Rocchio.
You said the Indian Premier League?
Indian Premier League.
As in cricket?
Yes.
I'll go with real.
See, he asked for more. I shouldn't have told him.
I know. I was going to ask the same question, but I'm going to go real, too.
It is real.
All right.
Because, you know, there are a billion people in India.
who like cricket.
Matthew Rocchio, real or fake, you lose most of your body heat through your head.
That is fake.
You like how he answered that?
I was like, he sounds confident. I'm going to go fake.
Mark Cox.
That is real.
It's fake.
It's a wives' tale.
It's a wives' tale. Because you only have 10% of your whole skin. You lose it through your skin. The rest of the 90% loses. His face is not.
I know.
If you're watching. Didn't you hear how confident he was?
Very
though?
Confident.
That doesn't affect me. Matthew's confidence does not affect my
answer. It shouldn't. It really shouldn't.
Ethan Bright, real or fake, chameleons change color to blend in with their surroundings. Surroundings is the word I was trying to say.
I'm going to go real.
Mark Cox.
They change their color to match their surroundings. Is that what it says?
Real or fake, chameleons change color to blend in with their surroundings.
I'll go with real.
Matthew Rocchio.
I don't like the way you're phrasing this. I'm going to go with fake.
It's fake. It's because of temperature. It's just coincidence that they turn green when they're on a green thing. It's not because of their surroundings.
I don't believe this.
I don't either. I'm not buying it.
I find these things on purpose, so you will think that they are fake.
Uh-huh.
Mark Cox, real or fake, the childhood home of the AC/DC founders, the Young Brothers, was mistakenly demolished by Sydney property developers. Real or fake?
I would say that could be real, Carl.
Matthew?
I'll go with real.
Ethan?
I'm rounding it out. Going real.
Did you hear that story?
I did not.
No, they developed it. It was actually a historical site. They went to the wrong address.
And tore it down. Nice.
Oh, my God. Damn it. Stupid Aussies.
I bet Angus was hot.
I'm sure.
Yeah. All right.
Real or fake? Matthew Rocchio. Humans only have 5 senses.
I'll go with fake.
Ethan Bright.
I was going to go fake, too.
I'll go real.
It's fake.
Ah!
Like,
I'm just trying to be different here.
Equilibrium with your sense of balance. Senses. You have a sense of time perception. You have a sense of feeling pain. Sense of temperature. Sense of movement. And a sense of body position and movement. I didn't know that either, so I learned something as well. Researching this for you. Ethan Bright, real or fake, there's an Italian village that forbids its residents from becoming ill.
Sure, let's go real.
Mark Cox.
Fake.
Yeah, let's go real.
It's real.
Man, I'm getting killed here.
I think you're trying to tank on purpose. Are you?
Is there a punishment?
Oh, yeah, there's no punishment.
Yeah, well,
he just doesn't want to pick the music.
No, I'm saying in the Italian town, if you get sick.
Oh, they banish you.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Interesting.
Ethan Bright, are you up next?
I think it's Mark.
Mark Cox. Real or fake? Google Maps had a picture that solved a missing person case. Real or fake?
They normally blur the faces out.
I'm not going to give you any further information.
I'll say it could be real then, Carl. Begin.
Matthew Rocky.
That's a good question. I'm going to go real, though.
I'm going to go real.
It is real. They had to blur out the faces. It was a guy putting a body into a car.
Oh, nice.
And so they found the missing part. Well, the late person, but it solved the case by them showing. And the picture is still up because, you know, they only take those cameras out once in a while.
How bad is your luck if you've just murdered somebody and you're putting them in the trunk of your car and that little ugly Google car rolls by at the exact same time?
Wow. That's some bad luck.
Matthew Rocchio, real or fake? The Great Wall of China is visible from space, as you've always heard.
Fake.
Ethan Bright.
Going fake.
Mark?
I'll say real.
It's fake.
Ah!
You can't see it.
You could probably see it if you zoomed in.
Yeah.
Right? We have big satellites up there with cameras on them.
But it's not visible from space with the naked eye. Should I have said naked eye?
Yeah, see, that was it. Yep.
You know what? Man. I'll give you that one.
No, you don't have to give me that one. Yeah, it's too late. I'm getting crushed here.
You are.
Yes.
But it is close with these two.
I know. He needs to miss one so I can catch up.
Real or fake? Ethan Bright, top musician, forced to cancel a concert after Air Canada refused to give him his seat for his priceless cello.
I'll go true.
Mark Cox.
I'll go real.
Real or fake, Matthew?
I'll go real.
It is real. He had to cancel it, and he blamed Air Canada, who, of course, then gave him a whole bunch of free stuff.
Free healthcare.
We're so sorry.
Yes, free healthcare. But you know what? Doesn't matter.
Congratulations.
Winning. As I said, the new guy comes in and throws everything off.
And he's not here next Monday.
Probably.
So,
Kim.
Yeah, but he's gonna get to pick the music because he won.
Yes.
That's the deal.
He just has to send them in.
Please tell us your tastes are not like eclectic, like no Green Day or anything, right?
I didn't know Green Day was eclectic, so unfortunately, if that's the marker, yeah, it's a little eclectic. I'm sorry, Mark.
Oh, boy. We'll find out. Be sure and tune in Monday to see what he does to us or for us here. All right, coming up, we're going to talk more about school choice. Stay tuned.
Devolve children.
This is really about putting kids first. Kids need options. Kids learn differently. The kids have different needs. The kids fit in different places. And that's what we love about school choice.
It is School Choice Awareness Week and an opportunity to remind people what's at stake here. It's really important, in my opinion. We got Shelby Doyle on with us this morning, Vice President of Public Awareness. And Shelby, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am great this morning because it's National School Choice Week. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'll bet you're fired up. You got lots to talk about. Let's talk about what's going to be done in Missouri this week, specifically to celebrate this and draw attention.
Sure. So National School Choice Week is a public awareness event that happens every January, and the idea is to help families figure out what all their K-12 options are and also start exploring them. So this week in Missouri, we've got two cool giant events happening, and then a lot of local events. There's going to be a Capitol rally in Jefferson City tomorrow, and then this Saturday there's a citywide open house with dozens of schools having an open house for parents to come visit in St. Louis, and that's happening for the third year in a row as a part of School Choice Week.
Yeah. When it comes to school choice, I've made this argument so many times. This crosses socioeconomic lines. Everybody thinks, well, you know, this is not good for public schools, but this crosses socioeconomic lines because people who don't have a high income might feel trapped in a district where the students are underperforming, the schools are underperforming. What's wrong with allowing those parents to port their money to a district where their kid can get a better education?
I agree with you, and I'd say this is also not really a hypothetical. We know what happens to public schools when we have a broad and open school choice system. We've seen that happen in several states. I love to point to Florida, where students are really doing well and where public schools are a very thriving part of the school choice ecosystem. The point is not to get everybody from public to private. Lots of people will choose any of the options, including charter or magnet or online homeschooling or another public school. But the point is that a parent has information nobody else has because they know their child best and they can find the right school for them.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, as you look at this from a nationwide perspective, you mentioned Florida. What are the other states that are getting it right? Doesn't Arkansas have a pretty wide open voucher system available right now?
Yeah, so Arkansas did pass an Education Freedom Account program, which is basically a stipend that parents can use for flexible education expenses, not just tuition, but things like curriculum or support services for kids, not just in private, but also in homeschooling options. They passed that in 2022, so it's now fully universal, which means any student in the state is eligible to use it. And on top of Arkansas, you've got states like Arizona or West Virginia that have really, really robust school choice options in every single type of school.
Yeah. Yeah. We passed something in Missouri last year that has to do with tax credits and kind of a shell game where you're moving the money around. And, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's not the wide open school voucher program I'd love to see in this state.
Yeah, I know a little bit about the Most Scholars program. So this is definitely in the same vein of a private school choice program. One thing it does have going forward is it is an education savings account program as opposed to a traditional voucher. The difference being that instead of this has to be used all on tuition, it gives you the option as a parent if you want to combine a couple things or use things for transportation in some states or curriculum or special therapy for occupational therapy. If your child has a disability, you can use it more flexibly. So that's one positive. But I know that I have heard from folks that they'd like it to be a little bit more robust and make it more possible for parents.
Well,
to
it's just not as easy, right? I mean, if parents have to have the means to participate in it, right? As opposed to a voucher where you could say, okay, my contribution to my local school district was $6,000 last year through my personal property tax. I want to take that dollar amount and transfer it to another school.
Yeah, the funding is where things get tricky, isn't it, always? And it's so different state by state that states structure their programs a bit differently because different states have a larger proportion of public school dollars made up by state funding versus local funding. And, of course, there's federal dollars due. And so things are happening at the state legislature level usually only allow you to bring those state dollars with you to another school of your choice, which is, of course, only a piece of that pie.
Yeah. Of course, we are talking to Shelby Doyle, who's with the National School Choice Awareness Foundation. What do the numbers show in terms of improvements in outcomes when you have systems like this in place?
Yeah. So the way I describe it is we know that school choice is a rising tide that lifts all boats. There's an organization called EdChoice that does great research on this. And we've seen that when states have broad private school choice programs in particular, a lot of research has been done around those. We know that not only students in those programs, but actually all the schools in that local area generally see higher student performance, which I think is really encouraging. And outside of just the private school choice world, there's been some really encouraging research that just came out from Stanford's Credo Institute about the ability of public charter schools to often serve students in urban environments, particularly students who might otherwise not be performing as well, but they are able to serve those students better than those local public schools.
And why is that? Your resources?
Well, I think a lot of it is just being able to differentiate, being able to pick a thing and be really, really good at that thing and getting students who align with it in the right seats where that really works for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know that geography has a lot to do with it for a lot of people. I mean, there are other barriers, right? Transportation, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are decisions parents also have to grapple with.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is really where the rubber meets the road. It's nice to talk about all of these things that happen at the state policy level. But for a parent, you might know of a great school, but if you can't actually get your kid there and home every single day, they don't have public transportation or you can't find a carpool option, then that can really put things out of reach. So that's something that we try to talk about quite a bit. Transportation and special education are the two things that parents most frequently tell us are keeping them from being able to choose what they want to do for their student. And so we try to make parents aware of how all of those factors affect every type of school. And it's a lot. It's a lot to consider, which is why it's important to start now in January, even for the upcoming fall.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here we are in the we just started our legislative session, and I know there'll probably be more discussions on this. I know the governor who just got elected is a big fan of magnet schools, charter schools, I should say, in the state of Missouri. And I know that's one of the things that you guys push as well, right? Public charter schools.
That's true. Yeah. So we talk about open enrollment in district schools, charter, magnet, private, online, and homeschooling options. And public charter schools are kind of interesting in Missouri in particular, because this is not unique to Missouri, but in a few states around the country, there are tons of public charter schools in big cities and then almost none anywhere else, which yes. is great if you live there and tough if you don't.
Well, so rural communities are not going to have as much access to that.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that doesn't have to be that way. There are other more rural states that have a wider diffusion of public charter schools. But for whatever reason, in Missouri, that has not happened.
Interesting. Well, I did. Well, how can people find out more?
You can find out more about your options and about the events that are happening this week, including that citywide open house in St. Louis, at schoolchoiceweek.com.
All right. Schoolchoiceweek.com. Shelby Doyle, thank you for your hard work on this.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think it's crucial. It's just crucial for the people who are against this. Their argument is often that it's going to hurt the public schools. It's going to force competition. You can bet the teachers union is opposed to it because they don't want to see those dollars removed from the school district. But if the school district sees its enrollment going somewhere else because it's not meeting the standards, then it's going to force change in these schools that are failing. And a competition is a good thing. Let's hope we can get this figured out. All right, coming up, speaking of schools, what a great segue. Makes my job so much easier. We've got some very important elections coming up again in April. It's that quick. It's already January. In early April, we'll be having school board elections. The candidates have already declared, and there are a bunch of them out there that we need to support who are already fundraising. We're going to talk about it when we come back.
Yeah, you know what? I've heard the complaints from people that if you push for school choice, you're against public schools. Nothing could be further from the truth. That you just want competition and you want choice for parents, right?
And in many cases, they're perfectly happy with their local public schools because they're doing a good job. And what we work hard on here is making sure we're getting common sense people elected to these school boards, right? Not ones that that compare the election of Donald Trump to 9/11. I mean, we saw that with the Wentzville School District with a candidate who's running out there for re-election. Of all things, you need people with common sense. So you don't want somebody like that making decisions on your child's curriculum. That's why these upcoming elections are just so important. We say it about all the time. What we'd love to see, ideally, Nick Schroer, the state senator, is pushing to get these elections moved to like November. So they would be in a higher turnout election, and you wouldn't be just dependent on single issue voters getting to the polls. That's why we've had very poor voter turnout the last April election that we had last year for the school board. So this year, we're hoping we can boost turnout and get people to realize how important these things are. Right now, we have Ken Gontars with us. Of course, he's with the Francis Howe Families, and great to get him on here again. Ken, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Mark, and good morning, Kyle, the master of all knowledge. Hey, has President Trump infused energy, excitement, and hope into the nation? I have never been so upbeat, positive, and feel so good about the direction of our country.
I heard you talking
earlier about how the president is now saying goodbye to DEI and how all government agencies and companies and now even dozens of universities are backing away from DEI. Wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great point, and I think a lot of people feel enthused about it. And now what I need is those same people who were standing in long lines out there in Francis Howell to vote in the presidential election will go stand in long lines to vote in the April elections, right? Turnout is going to be so key.
Yes. Yep. you hit it right on the button. Hey, it's not only about saying goodbye to DEI, but what about the president last week also declaring that there are only two genders,
yes,
male and female. We have a very important election, April 8th, to maintain, as you said, a common sense, reasonable, conservative school board. Currently, we have a 5-2 majority. But let me tell you what we are running up against. We've got two radical far-left members right now, a pastor who believes that the Bible speaks of, hold on to your knickers, oral sex and sex toys. They are for higher taxes, of course. If they control the board and if they get in, expect your taxes to shoot up. And the two candidates that they're currently endorsing for this April school board election, they all believe in social justice, as we said, DEI, the CRT, equity, not inclusion.
Yeah.
And how they label us as bigots, racists, homophobes, and carnival-style con men. It's unbelievable. They even want, and they're advocating for pronouns even in kindergarten and boys in girls' bathrooms. It's crazy, Mike, what's going on.
Well, it's frightening. And as you and I talked about last year, if you just do the research, you can go to the national NEA pages and find endorsements for a lot of those same wackadoodle ideas, right? I mean, you know where they're coming from, and the Missouri NEA goes out and endorses, in many cases, these same people. So it's not a surprise. They've got lots of money coming in, Ken, and that's what we're fighting.
Hey, $130,000 for to support the school board candidates in the St. Charles School Districts. Can you believe that? $130,000, which brings us to the point. We have a fundraiser on Thursday night. Keep Francis Howell School Board conservative. Randy Cook, Ashley Sturm, randycook.com, votesturm.com. It's going to be Thursday from 6 to 9 at the Defiance Ridge Winery. Come on down and support this. We've got a slate of heavy hitters as well. We've got Bob Onder, Bill Eigel, Nick Schroer, Adam Schnelting, and Joe Branzel. And we'll have live performance with Abigail Stahlschmidt. If you haven't heard her, she is dynamic. We'll have beer, wine, appetizers that will be provided for $50 or $100 or whatever you can afford. Come on down and support this great cause.
Yeah, well, it's a chance to put your money where your mouth is. A lot of people will talk about this and then either not get involved or not take action. So, again, it's this Thursday night, the 30th. It's at Defiance Ridge Winery down in Defiance. It's easy to get to when you head south on 94 there. And you just go mingle and you show support. Ashley Sturm, I haven't had a chance to meet her yet. That's Sturm. Vote Sturm, you mentioned, right? Just want to spell the name out. And, of course, Randy Cook is already on the board and is running for re-election.
Phenomenal. Hey, look what they have done in the last 3 years. They have removed DEI and CRT. Remember LeGarrette King and the whole CRT nonsense?
Yes.
And that whole curriculum? Bye-bye. We have removed the sexually explicit material from our libraries and from our curriculum. Yay, that was huge. We remove teacher discussions about gender without the involvement of the parents. That was huge. We have parental control over student data sharing, and we have more than we have implemented safety vestibules in all our schools and preschools. If we don't maintain the school board in April, a lot of these things will be overturned, Mark. We've got to come out and support our candidates.
Yeah, it's never been more important, Ken. I appreciate that. Is there a website people can go to if they want more information on this?
FrancisHowellFamilies.org. FrancisHowellFamilies.org. We have our invite there, and we have the ability to sign up. And also, don't forget the two candidates, RandyCook.com. VoteSturm.com. These are outstanding, professional, knowledgeable, involved people. Given your support, we've got to maintain our school board this year.
We are going to do all we can to help you out, my friend. Ken Gontars, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mark. Take care, man.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Yep. Maybe I will see you on Thursday night out there, 6 to 9 at the Defiance Ridge Winery. And he mentioned Abby Stahlschmidt, who's going to be playing out there providing music. If you haven't heard this young lady on her violin, it's outstanding. I mean, it sounds like something from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra very often. She's so talented. Just a chance to hear her would be great. Plus, you can support a fantastic cause for sure. All right, coming up, Jesse Jane Duff with more on the fantastic first week of Donald J. Trump, President of the United States. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.